The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the ninth chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When the days drew near for Jesus to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers ahead of him who went and entered a village of the Samaritans to make preparations for him. But the people did not receive him because his face was set toward Jerusalem. And when his disciples James and John saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to tell fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But he turned and rebuked them. And they went on to another village. And they were going along the road, and as they were going, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another, he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." And Jesus said to him, "Leave the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Yet another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. May we be guided this day by the power of the Holy Spirit, and always be guided by that power. All right. Who's heard the phrase, "We got this"? Or, "I got this"? "You got this"? Well, when we hear something like that, we're supposed to be strong and confident and press forward. And so we say, "Yeah, I got this." And what happens often? "We don't got this." I know, English people, English grammar folks, I apologize. We face obstacles, don't we? "I got this!" And then? What? You don't. Your wife gets sick. "I got this!" And then? Nothing. "I got this!" What's an obstacle that comes up? Tell me. Stuff? Self. Self. Stuff and things, though, too, comes up. Self. Yeah, life. Life has a way of doing that. Death has a way of being an obstacle. That's a grand obstacle. What are other obstacles that come up?
Illness.
Yeah. You know. You didn't plan on going to the hospital a week and a half ago. You're saying, "I got this." And you don't got this. We wonder, "Do I got this?" I wonder if, as you said, Karen, we put a little too much trust in us, in me, in self. We're a little too self-centric, self-reliant from time to time, aren't we? Or do we let the Lord battle for us? Think about it. Do we really let the Lord battle for us? All the time? No. Most of the time? Some of the time? Seldom? You know those little check mark things? Who do we like to have in control? Take your thumb like this. Go like this. And now go like this. Yeah. Or number one, yeah. We're a little self-reliant. "I got this!" And then you fall flat on your face. face. No offense, of course. We don't got this a lot of times. In the Luke passage today, Jesus is setting out resolutely. He set his face to go forward to Jerusalem. We've talked about this a little bit in the past. Jesus is setting out resolutely to go where? To suffer. To die. To go to the cross. To pay the price. He is setting out resolutely to share his passion for us, with us. He is setting out to be mocked. Can you believe that? Jesus is setting out resolutely. He knows he must press forward for the sake of you. And he knows what's ahead of him. He knows it's going to be a bad battle. He knows he's going to be spit on. He knows he'll be whipped. He knows he'll be mocked by everybody. He knows his own disciples will even be like, is this the guy? And then he knows his disciples will even say, I don't know him. I don't know this Jesus you're talking about. He knows he's going to be stressed, crushed under the weight of a heavy wooden beam. He knows he's going to be lifted up on that cross. He knows that the nails are going to be pounded into his wrists, his hands, his feet. He knows that a crown of thorns will be placed upon him. As again, he said, oh, you King of the Jews, save yourself. Come down from there. Think you're so high and mighty. Think you're hot. He knows this. He knows he's going to hang there. Put your hands like this for a second. Don't hit your neighbor. Now put them up a little bit higher. Now breathe. Take a big deep breath. It's hard, isn't it? I should have took I took a mental picture of you just now. Oh, like this. You can hardly breathe. But you don't even have the weight of your body pulling you down. Jesus has that. He can't breathe. He's suffocating. He's thirsty. He's abandoned by God. He's abandoned by people. And yet he presses forward, resolutely setting his face to go forth to Jerusalem, to suffer, to die for all of us. He took that cross that was ours. That's not the end of the story, of course, right? Christ is risen! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus set out resolutely to suffer, to pay the price, to die, to be raised to life. That you, little old you, who thinks you got this, same with me, little old me, he sets out resolutely and he's got this for you. He's given you that life. You got that too. And it is good. Well, Jesus is walking along the road and he says, follow me. He's saying, put God first. Reorder your values. Set your priorities right and let God work through the one who would set out resolutely for you. Are we to follow even to a cross? Yes. If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, self, and he must take up his cross, follow Jesus daily, he says. But when that load of our cross becomes too much, well, he's got this. It's no longer, I got this. Jesus has got this. He has it. And we need Jesus to have it and to go resolutely because we don't have enough. We don't got it. We barely have any. We don't have enough willpower. We don't have enough energy, amen? We don't have enough dedication. We don't have enough resistance to avoid the temptation. We don't have enough strength. We don't have enough power. We just don't have enough. We tend to follow that sinful nature that Paul talks about. The acts of the sinful nature, Paul says, are obvious. Sexual immorality. Again, I'm not going to have you raise your hand about all these today. The sins of sinful nature, those items of sinful nature, the acts of sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality. Impurity, debauchery, wild, lavish, crazy living. Idolatry. Who's that God, remember? Oh, yeah, me. The God of me. Or the God of something else. Witchcraft. Hatred. All right, I'll take you back for a second. Remember when you were a kid? And did you say to your brother or sister, I hate you! Not so good, is it? And we probably did for that moment. Anybody have a boss that they didn't care for so much? Put your hands down. Hatred. Discord. Trying to shift things up and make them unorganized, in disarray. Jealousy? Fits of rage? I see you guys on the road. Selfish ambition? We talked about that. Dissensions causing trouble. Again, factions, divisions that are not following Jesus. Envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, Paul says, as I did before, and this is what he's saying to the people of Galatia, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. You're like, man, all those things sound really fun. But they're dangerous. They are dangerous. We need that Jesus to go resolutely forward to Jerusalem. And he does. And then we live differently. We live like Jesus does, with the fruit of the Spirit. We live a life of joy. One of the things they say in seminary is when you're talking about Jesus and grace and love, you're supposed to have a face of joy, right? You have a face that is lit up. You have a big smile. And when you talk about anything else, your regular face will do. It's kind of convicting in that way. Because our regular face is sometimes kind of grumpy, isn't it? Who has a little turned down, Mark? Don't look at your husband or wife. You guys be nice. You got to get the, 67 years of marriage? How many?
Two.
Okay. I knew it was 60-something. We have a turned-down face a lot of time, don't we? Go forth with joy. Of course, we're supposed to start with love. You go forth with love? What's that look like in your life? Taking the kids to ice cream? They're like, what? Ice cream? It's not always about physical gifts, though. Going to play at the playground, enjoying time together, playing games. Showing love in various ways that are out of the ordinary for you. Most of the time, love is sacrificial, isn't it? When you really show it. You have to go outside of your norm when you're showing your love fully. Doesn't Jesus do that? Filled with the fruit of the Spirit. We live a life of peace. That's different than the brother and sister saying, I hate you, isn't it? Living a life of peace. I know some of you have this challenge. Having a life that's filled with patience. We can't even wait 32 seconds in McDonald's line for our coffee. We get grumpy, don't we? We have that turned down face once again. We don't have joy because we had to wait 32 seconds. Oh my goodness. Can't get my coffee fast enough. Rawr. Patience. We love a life of kindness. Again, what might that look like? Of goodness. Most of you are pretty good people. You caught that. Oh, you're all good people. Yeah, you are. But we have moments, though, don't we? We have moments, don't we? What does goodness look like for us? Faithfulness? I won't say we're all faithful, because I know we're all sinners. We're all broken. We all fail from time to time. We fail our loved ones. The one we're supposed to be the very closest to in our whole life. And we do like we would do to Jesus. And we spit in their face. Gentleness? That one can be hard. Sometimes we're abrupt, aren't we? We're kind of, we got to get it done quick, and we're kind of mean-spirited. I always think, no offense, Dave. Offense taken. I think about you because you're a guy who gets it done. And you're like me sometimes. We both start rattling off, let's do this and this and this. And his poor wife is saying, Dave, say good morning to the person first. Guilty? I'm guilty. I'm guilty. Gentleness, self-control. I apologize. Will you forgive me? Place of forgiveness. Somebody talked about this morning. We were talking about playing the piano and this being a place of faith or forgiveness and grace. So. Sorry to pick on you. You get in a dangerous spot here in the first in the first row, don't you? All right, what would these things look like for us? Love, patience, joy, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. What do these look like? Against these things, there is no more law. Instead, there is freedom. For those who belong to Christ Jesus, they have crucified the sinful nature. We've gotten rid of all that bad stuff with its passions and desires. And since we live by the Spirit, let us then keep in step, like a marching band. Everybody's in step together, right? Living with the Spirit, full of the Spirit, living forth in a life that is gentle and kind and loving and full of self-control and faithfulness and kindness and goodness for all you good people of Advent. And let us not be conceited, provoking one another, envying each other. Instead, let us be like Elijah. What a beautiful passage. And I'll just look at it real quick here. Elijah is told by the Lord, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord's about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. God is sometimes in those things, isn't he? In the wind, in the earthquake, in the fire, in the powerful things. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled the cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then the voice said to him, what are you doing, Elijah? He said, I'm going to stand strong. And I'm going to do what you ask, Lord. I'm going to tell the people what they need to hear. He heard the very voice of his Lord and Savior. Here's the thing I want you to take home today with you. Start your stand for freedom, and we're talking about freedom this week, right? Independence. Start your stand for freedom by sitting. Not like these guys with the Pledge of Allegiance, not like that. Start your stand by sitting and hearing the voice of the Lord. How is the Lord speaking to you in His Word? Is He saying be gentle? Is He saying be kind? Is He saying be more faithful? Is He saying be more loving? Be more joyful? Be more self-controlled? Don't get so grumpy. Be a little different than the rest of the world. Start your stand by sitting and hearing the voice of the Lord in His Word. Then you'll find your freedom. Because you will find that the battle you're going through belongs to the Lord. He's got this! He's got it. And it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened by a yoke of slavery. Stand firm in Jesus. And in His love and joy and patience and kindness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Stand firm in Jesus. You, brothers and sisters, were called good people of Advent. All y'all, to be free. But don't use your freedom to indulge in the sinful nature. We heard about this. Rather, serve one another in love. And the entire thing, the entire law, is summed up in a single command. Love your neighbor as yourself. Self. Love your neighbor as yourself. Well, that's a different kind of attitude, isn't it? Love and let Jesus' love work within you. Be filled with the fruit of the Spirit. And don't be afraid to say, I got this. Because you got this, Jesus. Now work in me, Lord, to give me your freedom that comes through your love. Help me, Lord, to press forward resolutely. To go, fight, win. to go forth in love, fighting against the devil and his schemes by being different as you are filled with godly love, as you are, instead of being filled with the darkness and evil of this world, the sinful nature, you are filled with freedom. It comes from Jesus and his love, and his forgiveness, and his grace, and his mercy, and his salvation, and the life we have through him. Amen. Peace, love, grace, faith, healing, and strength be ours from our triune God. All glory be to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, forever and forever. Amen.